We find ourselves here in the middle of the story about Gideon, that man whom God raised up to lead Israel against their enemies, the Midianites, the Amalekites, some other peoples from the east. When Yahweh called Gideon to serve as Israel's next judge, the next military leader, the man was filled with many doubts, with many fears. You may recall, friends, that he had such doubts and fears that persisted. But the Lord was so very patient with his doubtful servant. And the Lord persisted in reassuring Gideon that he had Almighty God on his side. Victory against Israel's enemies was certain, in spite of Gideon's weakness. Well, now this judge, Gideon, has 32,000 soldiers who are ready to go with him into battle. They're just about ready to wage war against their enemies, the Midianites. But Yahweh says, not quite yet. The Lord says, Gideon, you have too many soldiers. So you'll notice in the sermon title, God decreases the fighters to deepen the faith. He decreases the fighters to deepen the faith. To deepen Gideon's faith. And with that, friends, we turn now to the living and holy word of God. Judges 7, let's start reading here at verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And anyone of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So Gideon brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go every man to his home." So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat." And his comrade answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp." As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand. Word of God from Judges 7 this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be strong people. And we want to accomplish things through our own efforts, in our own strength. And much of the time, for our own glory. You must know, beloved, that this is really the root of our sinful condition. It manifests itself in all kinds of different ways and to varying degrees. But it is in every single one of us. It's our sinful pride. You also must know, friends, that God usually will not choose to do His work through proud sinners. Proud sinners who trust in their own strength and who seek their own glory. It's not that the Lord cannot use them. It's just that He typically won't use them. Because our mighty God prefers to do His work through our weakness. This is our theme today, beloved. And I plead with you that you would learn this lesson from God's Word today. It's so counterintuitive, it runs so contrary to our nature, our sinful nature, and our pride. It runs contrary to our logic and our reasoning. But it is true. Our God prefers to do His work through our weakness. The Apostle Paul wanted this thorn to be removed from his flesh. We can't be exactly sure what this thorn is, something that was causing him a great deal of pain and weakening Paul. He wanted to be strong again. He was begging God to remove the thorn from his flesh, make him strong again. God said no. You remember what the Lord tells Paul? He records it for us there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Lord says, no, Paul, I won't remove the thorn from your flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'm going to leave you in your weakness. I'm going to give you the grace so that you can go on serving me. But I'm going to leave you in your weakness. Because I'm pleased powerfully to work for you and to work through you, not when you are strong, but when you are weak. And Paul finally learned to say, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. That's nuts. You've heard these verses before, friends, but listen, that's just crazy. What Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. This is why. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brothers and sisters, we must learn to say the same thing. To recognize our weakness. Humbly to accept our weakness. In some sense, to embrace our weakness. So that we would trust our mighty God to work. And then give Him all the glory when He does. This is what the story of Gideon is all about. This man had been fearful all along. He knew that he was no strong warrior. He knew he wasn't this brave military leader. Gideon knew that he was far too weak to lead the Israelites to go out and attack their enemies, Midian, Amalek, these other people from the east. But Gideon finally did it by faith. Because he was convinced that God was with him. We didn't read the rest of the story there in Judges 7. The story of the battle that took place between Israel and Midian. This is basically what happened. Gideon told his 300 soldiers that God had given the enemy into their hand. That was the last verse we read there in verse 15. Then Gideon divided his 300 men into three different groups, 100 each. He had them carrying trumpets in one hand, and then he had them carrying jars in another hand. Jars that would have some kind of torch or a candle inside. Gideon has the 300 soldiers in his army surround the camp of Midian, this massive camp of their enemies, 135,000 of them. The Israelites then blew their trumpets, smashed their torches, their torch jars on the ground, and they shouted this battle cry, a sword for Yahweh and for Gideon. All the noise threw the Midianites into a confusion and panic. And you'll notice what happened. We'll just read a couple verses there from the end of the story. Would you look there in your Bibles? Verses 21 and 22. They give their battle cry, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And notice verse 21. Every man, now in the Israelite army of 300, every one of those men stood in his place around the camp. And all the army, this is the army of Midian, they ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew, the Israelites blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword. Now this is back in the camp of Midian, against his comrade and against all the army. Do you understand what's going on there, friends? The Israelites had no swords. They have a trumpet in one hand and a torch jar in another. They're not wielding any weapons. In fact, they simply stand there and watch what happens. The noise indeed caused their enemies a great deal of confusion, and they ran around in a panic. But then you read there that Yahweh, the Lord God, you see, turned the Midianites against themselves. Thousands of them were killing each other with their own swords. And then they flee south with Israel on their heels, and it's a rout. Well, here's the point, friends. The Lord God fought for Israel. We see it again and again in Holy Scripture, but here it is again. Yahweh gave his people victory over their enemies. Sure, Gideon developed a strategy of attack, and Israel finally ran the enemies right out of the promised land. But they did not overpower Midian. No, God graciously gave victory to his people. And he was pleased, you see, powerfully to work through the weakness of Israel and their puny army. Of course, this is why God so drastically decreased the size of Gideon's army in the first place. And that brings me to my first main point this morning, friends, a simple one. Gideon's army had to decrease so that God would get the glory in saving Israel from their enemies. Again, Gideon's army had to decrease so that God would get the glory in saving Israel from their enemies. Chapter 7 begins with the armies of Israel and Midian about ready to go to war against one another. Israel has about 32,000 soldiers. Midian has about four times as many. Again, something like 135,000. Gideon could not have liked his chances facing an army that's four times bigger than yours? So what does Yahweh say to Gideon at that point? Gideon, you do not have nearly enough soldiers. You need to go back through the northern tribes of Israel and gather many more into your army. No, exactly the opposite, right? You see it in verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Israel could not have saved themselves. There's no way they could have done it. They could not have beaten that enemy that was four times larger than their army. But see, God would make it perfectly clear that his people did not gain victory by their own strength. This is why Yahweh cut them down to size. The size of his liking. So that Israel could not even think of robbing God of his glory. Yahweh decreases the size of the army so that he alone would get the glory for victory. And he shrinks the army two times over. First of all, he has Gideon send home any of those soldiers who are fearful. And as a matter of fact, friends, this is something that was rather typical in Israelite warfare. As they prepare for battle, it was actually commanded in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, to send home certain peoples that didn't belong in the army. And one of the groups that needed to be sent home, as a matter of custom, were those soldiers who were fearful. God didn't want fear spreading throughout the ranks of his army. So this is a rather typical sort of thing that happens here first. But notice how many left on this occasion. 22,000. Leaving Gideon with only 10,000 soldiers to go face the Midianites, who are now by this point, if you do the math, 13 times their size. God's not done. He says to Gideon, the people with you, the Israelites in your army, Gideon, they are still too many. And at this point, you can be sure Gideon must have thought this was crazy. But he takes the soldiers over to a brook where they can get a drink of water, as God commands him. And the Lord has Gideon divide up all the soldiers now into two groups, depending on how they drink, right? They're going to drink in one of two ways. They're either going to bend down with their faces to the water, and 9,700 of those 10,000 soldiers did that, and they were put to one side. Or they are going to lap like a dog. And as it's explained here, that actually doesn't mean they're going to put their head down in the water, but they're going to use their hands and bring it up to their mouth and lap it up with their hands. And only 300 do this, and they're put off to the other side. Now, you can be sure, Gideon right there, as there's this division made between 9,700 soldiers on the one hand, and then on the other hand, just these 300, you can be sure what he's hoping he gets to send home is just the 300. But no, the Lord says, it's these 300 that's going to go into battle with you, Gideon. And I'm going to save Israel by using them. I'm going to defeat the Midianites through this puny army of 300. The rest you send home. How are 300 Jewish soldiers to defeat an army, the Midianite army, that is now, listen, over 400 times their size? You get the point. Impossible by their own strength. And that's just exactly what God's doing here, making it absolutely clear to his people that there is no way they could do this by their own strength. They're going to fight an army now that is 400 times their size. God drastically shrunk Gideon's army so that his people would be certain that he gives them the victory over their enemies. Only then, you see, beloved, could they take no credit for themselves. They'd have to give all the glory to their Lord and Savior, their divine warrior. You know, friends, we must not think it is only the people of ancient Israel who had this tendency to give themselves credit for their successes and their victories. This is that sinful pride that resides in every human heart. It resides in you and me. It's that sinful pride that is still in Christian people today, which leads us to rob God of his glory. Because we'd like to think that we accomplish something great in our strength. Or that God will use us because of our ability, our smarts, our wise plans, our reputation, whatever it might be. Understand this, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is usually the case that Almighty God will not use you until you recognize how totally insufficient you are to do his work. until you come to terms with your own weakness, so that you can then move forward in service only by trusting in your mighty God, to whom you will then give all the glory when he does work through you. Make sure you get this, such an important connection between God's getting all the glory because of his strength and our being able to serve him only by faith, precisely because of our weakness. These two things, brothers and sisters, they are bound up with one another. You may recall from Hebrews 11, that list of the Old Testament saints, right? We call it sometimes the Hall of Faith. In that passage, Hebrews 11, verse 32, mentions a number of the judges. It mentions Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah. And then it says that these men conquered kingdoms through faith. And then it says, Hebrews 11, 34, that they were made strong out of weakness. The Lord drastically decreased Israel's army so that he would be glorified by a people, you understand, who served him in faith. A people who knew they were far too weak to win the battle, and for that very reason had to trust God to fight for them and to save them. So, dear saints, while the Lord was ultimately after his own glory, and that's really here at the beginning of the story, it's so clearly there in the first part of that story, we have to understand that he was also very much after Gideon's heart, after the heart of his people. God was working all along to deepen this man's faith in God. And this brings me to my second point this morning. God decreased the army to drive Gideon into deeper weakness and ultimately into deeper faith. God decreased the army to drive Gideon into deeper weakness and ultimately into deeper faith. Yes, dear saints, I mean for you to understand this morning that your God prefers your weakness over your strength. Rather than those mighty heroic types who in their pride foolishly imagine that they are strong, God prefers servants who know their own weakness yet are ready to serve God by faith. By this point, we're very familiar with Gideon's weakness. Remember, he initially tried to excuse himself from service because he knew he was this least man in a very unimportant family in the tribe of Manasseh. He argues with God. He says, I'm the wrong man. The Lord repeatedly provided Gideon with signs, one after another, that proved God's mighty presence with him. But Gideon continued to struggle. Struggling all along with all of these doubts and all of his insecurities and his fears. Finally, the military leader has an army of 32,000 soldiers. And what does the Lord do? He whittles it down to 300. See, friends, the Lord never wanted Gideon to feel strong in himself or to feel strong because of his own resources. Exactly the opposite. He wanted him to know his weakness. Yahweh wanted Gideon more deeply to realize how completely unable he was to do the work God called him to do, because only then would the man be in a position to serve God by faith. So simple. You trust somebody else to do the work for you when you realize there's no way you can do it on your own. So God finishes shrinking the army, and then he sends Gideon to battle. But of course, God knows that Gideon is just as fearful as ever. Did you notice this in verse 10? Gideon, now go down to the army and attack those Midianites. But if you're still fearful, which of course Gideon is all along, it's like it never changes, right? If you're still fearful, take your servant Purah and go down to the enemy camp, just the two of you, and I will have you hear something that will strengthen you to face the enemy at last. It's amazing, friends. I've made this point before, but you have to appreciate this. God doesn't have any rebukes for his doubtful, fearful servant. But graciously and patiently and persistently reassures his doubtful servant Gideon. One sign after another that God uses to strengthen the faith of this man. Well, Gideon and his servant Purah, they go down to the enemy camp. What they see there is a multitude of Midianites that cannot be numbered. Gideon must have been terribly afraid. But then he hears a discussion between two Midianite soldiers. One is describing his dream to the other, and the simple dream is that this little cake of bread goes tumbling into the tent of Midian, and when it hits that tent, turns it upside down, and by the end of the dream, the whole tent of Midian lies flat on the ground. Well, his companion knows what this means. You see it there in verse 14. This is no other than the sword of Gideon. You can be sure Gideon is smiling at this point. It's just a loaf of bread that's tumbling into the tent. He's just a weak little farmer. He's no mighty warrior with a great sword. He knows what the Lord's saying. He knows exactly what the Lord's doing now. The interpretation here. This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. The two armies had not yet even seen each other. But the Midianites, you see, already they knew they were defeated. Because God had struck fear into their hearts. Fear of Gideon, who now realized that his puny army did not even need swords to defeat the enemy. Israel could simply trust their mighty God to give them the victory. And at last, weak Gideon grows strong through faith in God, and before any fighting even takes place, he is compelled to give God glory for that victory which was so sure to come. You see it here, friends, in verse 15. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. Lots of folks have been rather hard on Gideon over the years, blasting away at this weak man who's so plagued by fears and by insecurities, who so often is doubting the very word of God. Friends, let's not be too hard on Gideon. After all, God was not hard on him. In fact, God was so very gracious and patient toward his doubtful and fearful servant, just as he so often is with you and with me. It's not that God was just waiting for this weak man to get strong. No, it's far better than that. The Lord God actually wanted this weak man to be his servant. And then God imposed even more weakness on Gideon in order to deepen Gideon's faith and finally use Gideon for his glory. Dear saints, learn this truth. Learn it well. Get it into your very bones. Our mighty God prefers weakness. I don't mean our sinfulness, but our inability to do the things that he's called us to do. Because you see, friends, we were never meant to do the things he calls us to do in our own strength, but only by faith in the Lord, who is strong to save, strong to sanctify, and to strengthen us for his service. When you really know this truth, beloved, you're not going to be surprised to find your God bringing you down to your knees, to the very end of yourselves, to the end of all your resources, so that you have to cry out, "I just can't do it." Listen, that is so often exactly where he wants you. So that you will bring that desperate cry to the throne of grace. Plead for God's help, for him to rescue you. Trust him to work, to make you strong out of weakness. I just can't do it, Lord, but I will trust you to give me the strength to endure this illness. Lord, I don't have the power to resist this temptation. I can't do it. But I'll trust you to rescue me from it. I can't go on loving the spouse who will not return love to me, Lord. But I will trust you to give me the mind of Christ, my Savior, so that I may practice your unconditional love. It's actually quite amazing that so many of us Christians forget this truth that God prefers weakness. Because, of course, beloved, he accomplished eternal salvation for us sinners by embracing weakness himself. He became an infant. He lived in poverty. He became acquainted with all of our griefs and sorrows. Jesus was even tempted as we are. Beloved in the Lord, you understand that at the cross he obtained for us the forgiveness of sins and everlasting righteousness by willingly becoming the object of all of God's wrath against our sin. Weakness is what he embraced. The worst kind of weakness, being crushed under the weight of God's wrath. Brothers and sisters, our Savior did his greatest work for our greatest gain, and he did it through weakness. He still works through weak means today, using simple words and water, wine, wheat bread, to bring the power of his kingdom into this world. We must realize that the Lord Jesus will continue to do his good work in us and do his good work through us by embracing us in all of our weakness. May this wonder of his wisdom and grace lead each and every one of us to embrace weakness, humbly to embrace our own weakness, and lovingly and mercifully to embrace the weakness of others, so that we will ultimately learn to walk by faith in Christ, who will make us strong out of weakness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.